took me every time. We'd stand there in the voting line. People from church would all say hi. She smiled at everyone. There were lots of boots and veteran hats, women in polyester pants, fluorescent lights and the real romance of imagining myself one day in a suit, shaking hands, saying nice to meet you. Oh, I read those names on front yard signs, went home to make my designs. Instead of their names, I put mine, 'cause I knew I would run. But first I'd win the World Series and the Super Bowl, then help Magic Johnson beat Larry Bird, pilot a jet, save the world, come home as everyone's favorite son. They'd all cheer, come hear me talk about my ideas. Ever have a dream that's a dream alone? Maybe that's why I love to vote. My mom would let me poke the holes in that little paper card. We'd talk at home with my grandma about who was on the ballot and what they thought. By about fourth grade, I knew them all. I could argue with anyone. I thought I was just a guy who could sort out all the problems. I wish I could have walked over Edmund Pettus Bridge with John Lewis on that Sunday. I wish I would have known when I was a kid just how hard it was for so many people to do the simple thing that for me was a childhood game. The polling place was a place to dream, should be the same for everyone. We are free, we believe in love, but if we don't fight for each other, those are just words. I thought about Susan B. Anthony and Lucy Stone, who fought for women when they couldn't vote. I heard Fannie Lou Hamer singing her songs when I went out that day with my kid and a baby Bjorn to the school near my house in the pre-dawn. There was a line of people in my big city home, and I knew everyone was there to vote for us. I was happy to wait. I was cold but warm, and the sun came up.
That was the Deedle Deedle Dees with Vote With My Mom, released in 2018. You are tuned to the Children's Hour, and I'm Katie Stone, here with the kids on Zoom and with New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver. We have a lot more questions about the election and voting.
What is the youngest age you can be able to vote?
The federal law says you have to be 18 years old to vote. However, there have been some movements around the country to allow folks as young as 16 to be able to vote in, let's say, school board elections, because students are being impacted directly on a daily basis by the decisions of the school board, who makes all the decisions about how your schools are going to run. So it's entirely possible that in the future, we could see that voting age lowered down to 16, or who knows, maybe even lower.
Can you choose not to vote?
You know, in the United States, you can make that choice. That is your right as a citizen as to whether you want to vote or not. And did you know, Octavia, there are some countries where you actually have to, you're required by law to vote. And if you don't, you actually have to pay money to the government for not voting. And some people think we should do that here because some people don't think there are enough people that actually come out and vote, even though we have this really amazing right to have our voices heard. But here in the United States, it is our choice not to vote if we choose not to.
In the state of New Mexico, we vote on paper ballots. We use a pen and actually fill in a piece of paper, little circles like kids will do at school when you have standardized tests.
Right.
But in a lot of places in the country, they use electronic voting machines, which kind of look like a screen, like an iPad, and you touch them and vote that way. I feel like our paper ballots are really safe and secure and a great way to vote. But I also have a couple questions for you, like how do you count so many paper ballots so quickly? And are they all the same, voting paper ballots or voting with electronic voting machines?
So it's a combination, right? We do, of course, use the paper ballot. And to your point, Katie, we use that so that if there is ever, I mean, how many times have you guys tried to start your iPad or start your computer and it doesn't start up?
Yeah.
Right? Something went wrong. How many times have you had to turn it off and turn it back on again? And then sometimes have you guys ever like worked hard on something on your computer, like maybe tried to write a book report or something and something happened with the computer and the document didn't save and you had to do your work all over again? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, a lot.
Okay, so many times.
So that's the thing with computers. That's why we have the paper ballot. If anything ever happened to that machine that's counting your ballot, we still want to be able to know how you voted at the end of the day, right? We want to be able to go back and say, this is how Melissa or Maya or Isaac voted. So we're able to do that with a paper ballot, but we use the machines to count those votes a lot faster than a human can. And they can count sometimes up to 1,000 ballots a minute as we're feeding them through the machine to be counted. That's how we can count them so fast. But if it ever got messed up, we have that paper ballot that we can go back to and make sure that we count your vote correctly.
Secretary Toulouse Oliver, how do you decide who goes first on the ballot and the order of the candidates?
First of all, depending on the office, so the federal or the national government offices are going to go first. So like president is going to always be at the top of the list, then United States Senator, then U.S. Congress, then any state level offices, then any county level or local level offices. But here's how we decide the order. We take the alphabet. And we put all of the letters of the alphabet into a random hopper, kind of like if you guys were doing bingo, right? And you saw maybe, have you guys ever seen those bingo machines where the pieces bounce around? I'm describing this in like a story-like kind of way because we actually do it by computer and it's really boring. But imagine, if you will, that someone were to reach out and pick out a letter. The first letter of the alphabet we picked out was the letter C. So everybody with a letter C starting last name got to go first on the ballot. Then we picked out a second letter. Let's say for the sake of argument that it was a P. Then everybody with a letter P got to go second until we went all the way through the alphabet. So we picked it totally random so that everybody had an equal chance of going first or last or what have you. That's how we picked that.
Secretary, we're hearing in the news that we should all expect that the results of the election will not be available the night of the election. But do you think we're going to have the results by, say, Thanksgiving?
Of course, we're going to know by Thanksgiving the outcome of the election. You know, people like me all over the country that are in charge of elections are working so hard already, and we're going to keep working so hard to make sure that every single vote gets counted and gets counted accurately so that we know the outcome. We know how important it is for the public, for all of your parents and all of you guys to know who's coming next, who's going to be our next series of leaders in this country. And we want to know that too. So we are going to make sure that that happens.
Is there a way where teens like me can go out and work at the polls?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked, Melissa. And I don't know exactly how old you are, but if you're 16 or 17 years old, you can work at the polls in New Mexico. And in fact, our county clerks love having younger people work the polls along with the other poll workers, because a lot of times there's like heavy equipment to set up, or like, you know, they don't really feel comfortable with computers, right? And of course, our younger people are so good at that sort of thing. And so if you're interested, you can call your county clerk or go online to your county clerk's office and sign up to be a poll worker. They would love to have more 16 and 17 year olds working at the polls.
We have posted a link that has all the data state by state for poll worker rules, including the minimum age. And there are many states where teenagers can jump on in and become poll workers, even if you're not old enough yet to vote. We've been with New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. It's so nice seeing all of you guys. Thank you for your wonderful questions.
We're going to learn about the Electoral College next with a real elector. But first, this is Annie Lynn. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and we're learning about presidential elections on the show today. And that's because in the United States, we have an election coming up on the first Tuesday of November to elect our next president and vice president of the United States. But there's a funny little thing about electing a president and a vice president in our country. The overall popular vote in our nation does not determine the winner of the election. And that's because of our Constitution, which created the Electoral College. Kids and adults struggle to understand the purpose of the Electoral College, so we asked New Mexico Representative Pamela Herndon, herself once an elector in the Electoral College, to explain the Electoral College to us.
The Electoral College is actually described as a place where a group of people with a similar viewpoint come together to elect the president and the vice president of their party, particularly in states where the popular vote will determine who will get electoral votes. So it's a method for which a state will actually cast votes to make that determination, and that determination being the president and vice president of our country. And so some of you might be asking, well, oh my gosh, why do we have to have an electoral college? Why can't we just all go out and vote and whoever wins, wins? Well, when our forefathers put together the Constitution, they were concerned that there were a lot more people in other parts of the country than in others. And what they wanted to do was to make sure that every state would have an equal opportunity to determine who would be a president and the vice president of our state. So they thought that this Electoral College concept would really work. But now, as we continue to have our conversation, I'll be interested to hear your conversation with me about whether or not you think it really does bring about an equal process for determining the president and the vice president.
Why is it called the Electoral College?
So it's called an Electoral College simply because they use the word college. And as we look at the word college itself, it simply refers to a group of people who have a shared task. And their task is to carry out the job of choosing the president and the vice president. So that's how the term college got put into it. An electoral, meaning that they are casting a vote to make a determination of who will hold an office. So it's a group of people with a shared task of determining who will hold an office. And so that's kind of how it got its name.
How did you become an elector?
I became an elector when I became a member of the State Central Committee for the state of New Mexico. And so that's where the determination of electors generally occur. So what happens the way our state is run and many other states run is that people will determine that they're going to run for a position to determine the policies of a particular political party. So in my case, I ran to help determine the policies of the Democratic Party in the state of New Mexico. And the year that I was in what's called the State Central Committee, and I ran for and sought the position as an elector and was elected by the other members of the State Central Committee to carry out that task, then that gave me the opportunity to make sure that I'm the one who's actually casting the vote for our state once the popular vote in our state was determined.
Is there just one elector for a state, or how many does a state have?
No, in the state of New Mexico, we have electors in our state, as in every other state, based upon the number of people in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. So in our state, we have 2 members of the Senate and we have 3 members of the House of Representatives. So therefore we have 5 electors. So across the country, there are 538 electors, and those are based upon 2 senators for every state, which would make 100 senators. And then though there are 435 representatives as determined by the Constitution, where those representatives are depends upon the census. So the more people you have, the more representatives you will have in the House of Representatives in Congress. And then it also includes 3 electors or 3 representatives from the District of Columbia. So that's how we get to the number of 538.
New Mexico's State Representative Pamela Herndon is one of our guests. She is serving in the State House of Representatives for the state of New Mexico currently, and she once was an elector. Dr. Herndon is also an attorney, and as we're approaching the presidential election in the United States, it's often surprising to people from other countries, or really just people in general, how the popular vote, meaning whoever has the most number of votes in a presidential and vice presidential race, is not necessarily the winner. There's a lot to learn, and you can find links and more information at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Presidential Elections.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without spending a dime. Learn more at tokenibis.org. Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.